Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Real Answers. It airs Wednesdays with Chris Anderson during the Noon Report. We tackle the tough topics facing today's families with licensed mental health counselor Chris Anderson. And it's a rare instance, but it is an honor to have you live in studio, and that's the case this week. And you brought a really good topic. We were talking a little bit off air of just a meaty topic. I think a lot of people are going to get a lot out of this issue that's so relevant to many people out there, but also very painful. How to raise a family when your own family of origin was abusive or dysfunctional in some way.
Yeah, absolutely, Brandon. You know, I've spoken to a lot of people in my years as a counselor who came from some unhealthy, broken families of origin. I'm really glad we're addressing it this week. You know, we may need to use more than one segment to cover everything, but we'll definitely give it a go today.
Yeah, so Chris, tell us a little bit about how you work with folks in counseling settings who had difficult upbringings.
The first thing we do as counselors is to assess why an individual is seeking counseling. So part of the initial session is an intake where we simply listen to what the client is saying and find out the reason they're seeking help. So this initial process is where we gather up information about background of the client and try to get as clear a picture as possible as where the client's at, what they're bringing to us, and some of the factors that have contributed to the client's desire to seek help. So part of this gathering process is simply to assess their family of origin. And I usually just kind of say to my clients, tell me about your family when you were growing up. How did everyone get along? Were your parents married? Or how did you all communicate? Tell me some of your mealtime traditions or your holidays, your communication styles, where you spent vacations, etc. Then when we get kind of a clearer picture of a client's family history, we can keep that information on hand in the event that as the sessions are progressing, we might be able to use it to kind of help the client out.
And you've been in that unique position to gather a lot of that info. So what trends have you seen?
Sure. Much of my work in the earlier part of my career as a counselor focused on addiction treatment. Many times the clients had family backgrounds where there was abuse or otherwise some level of dysfunction within the family, but not always. There were cases where families were intact that seemed very healthy. So addiction doesn't necessarily discriminate. However, the cases that we're talking about today are where people know their families of origin weren't healthy and they want to make sure they can take some steps to make sure they don't repeat some of those same mistakes with their own children.
And I'm sure that challenge is daunting, but the desire to achieve a healthier family is strong at the same time for many people.
Yeah, absolutely, Brandon. And I know so many people who say, Chris, I had a horrible family background, and I don't want to raise my own family the way I was raised. So to those folks, first off, my hat goes off to you for sure. And I want to address what steps can be taken to help them make that goal a reality. So the first step I would say is to realize that you do not have to repeat the same mistakes. You are the expert in your background. You know what you went through. So getting ready to use that knowledge in a good way, this is what kind of allows you to choose some of the other options for your children. Secondly, we want to realize that relating to others, such as to your spouse, your children, these are actually skills that can be learned even later in life. So I often use with my clients the illustration of being an electrician. I've never been taught electrical installation whatsoever. And if I tried to install electrical wiring in my house, I'd either electrocute myself or I'd burn my house down, you know. But if I see that work as a skill, then I can learn it. I can be taught that skill. And then I can be confident that even if my father didn't teach me how to install electrical wiring, I will be able to do that. So parenting, being a good spouse, these are skills that can be learned even if you didn't have good role modeling. Thirdly, there's going to be some pain in this process. I try to work with my clients and help them to understand that being able to identify the behaviors and emotional patterns may require getting in touch with some painful memories and that have been maybe buried for a long time, or just getting a client to understand why, for example, they might lash out or lose their temper with their children is an important first step in helping them to create and identify new behavior patterns that are more consistent with their goals of being a better parent. So there's where that awareness is coming in, helping them say, this is what I did or what I experienced as a child. I don't want that to happen. Now I have to come up with a new plan as a parent, and how do I learn that? And then also, it's so important for people to realize that a healthy Bible-believing church can provide a tremendous amount of support when it's sought out the right way. The Bible is pretty clear that we're to take care of the orphans and widows. For example, James 1:27 states that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Okay, so what is this pollution that James is referring to? Well, definitely a part of the pollution, we could say, is generational sin. It is definitely some of the things that are underlying issues of parenting and how we raise our kids. And so this verse also is really a pattern for how the church is to function in helping those around us. So to look after really means to tend to the best interests of those in our care. And that includes coming alongside, providing instruction and relational structures as set forth in other areas of the Bible. For example, discipleship is a great example of that, coming alongside and looking after those younger in the faith. Mm-hmm. So small groups and churches, again, Brandon, we've talked about that before for sure, the function of a healthy support system and, right, and the role that small churches can provide. These are great places to form those relationships in a small, trusting, and kind of a safe setting where people can be real, ask the questions without fear of judgment, and then this is where we can help provide instruction.
Always so important to get plugged into those resources.
Yep, absolutely. And so again, speaking of resources, some great resources out there from pastors and family counselors that can be used in individual study or in small groups. Again, a small group study is powerfully validating to folks to help them realize they're not the only ones that have gone through abusive backgrounds or who have had a hard time and they don't want to pass it on to their own children.
Churches, as you mentioned, a wonderful opportunity to be able to find some of that wisdom. But what about social services in our communities? What do they have to offer? Mm-hmm.
There are parenting classes and also support services for single parents and or financial services folks that are struggling. And I do encourage folks to take advantage of them. But keep in mind, too, that government-based agencies will not have a biblical focus, which is why it is important for Christians to balance those services out with God's word in a healthy church environment.
Any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
Yeah, definitely. I asked a dear friend of mine who had a very difficult childhood for some personal advice for folks, if she had any thoughts that she would want to pass along. And she said to me, I didn't want my children to ever feel abandoned or unloved. I think she said she was 18 years old when she finally heard the words, I love you, from somebody in a meaningful way.
Wow.
And interestingly enough, she said, I don't know how important this is. And I was like, hold on, that is so incredibly important. So even right there, she wasn't sure if that was as big a deal as she thought. And it is absolutely critical that not only do we hear those words, but that we also back them up in our own families with affection and activities and time together, that quality time, but also incorporate an element of discipline. So this is what she also said to me. She's like, when it's time to discipline your children, know how to do that well, because discipline is actually an expression of love. It really, truly is. She ended it herself by saying when she finally was saved that she really felt her father's love, meaning God's love, for the first time, and what an awesome first love that was.
Yeah, and what an awesome eternal love that is.
Very much so.
Wow, very powerful segment today, Chris. Thanks again for sharing with us.
So good to be here.
You've been listening to another edition of Real Answers with Chris Anderson. Airs Wednesdays during the Noon Report. We tackle the tough topics facing today's families with Christian counselor Chris Anderson.